Can you see that? Can you hear me? Great. Right, well, first thing I'm going to do is not do what I've said that I was going to do. And in fact, we're going to do a 7-minute NHS exercise. I thought instead of just waffling on about the kinds of things I do, I thought I'd actually do one of them. This is an exercise. I thought we were going to be in the lecture theatre where people could move around. The important thing for this is that you've got a buddy or a couple of buddies to talk to. But the kind of thing that I'm going to take you through will involve you to do some counting and basically the problem that you're going to be faced with as a group, and we'll get you to freely give ideas once the film has ended about how you might solve the problem. And basically, the next thing, is to get you into role. So, it is 8:15 p.m. on a Sunday night, so you are sat at home watching The X Factor or whatever it is. You are the manager who is on call for the Derbyshire Royal Infirmary. That's a 440-bed general hospital. It's got an A&D. It's got a very, very highly rated orthopaedic department. So broken bones, hip replacements, stuff like that. You know, this is your meat and drink. You've got 6 surgeons. You've got 24 junior doctors. 15 miles away down the road, you've got another hospital which deals with hip replacements, knee replacements, shoulder replacements, and all. But it's quite distant. It's not got intensive care, not a sophisticated place. The other important thing is you're not on your own in this exercise. There are other hospitals in the area. There's Leicester Royal Infirmary and Queen's Medical Centre, Nottingham. So you're one of 3 hospitals, okay? We can go back over these details once we've seen the film. But the next thing that happens, to your dismay, is that there is a news flash on TV. So what I'd like you to do is to listen to the news flashes. As I say, this is about whether you've got enough beds and whether you can cope. So the kinds of things that you might be listening for, although it's up to you, is how many people are on the plane? How many dead do you think there are? You might then want to apply an 80-20 rule to find out how many of those people who you think are coming in your direction as one of the 3 hospitals are severely injured. And, well, let's listen to the news flash, and then we'll see what questions you've got, and we've got enough time to listen to it a couple of times as well. Okay, everybody okay with that? Any questions before we start? Yes.
80-20 rule for those who don't work.
Okay, right. Well, 80-20 is not a medical rule; it's the Pareto rule, and it's basically a rule that says 20% of people will take up 80% of your resources. Okay. Any other questions before we start? Here's a familiar face for you from the past.
Before our next program, we're moving over to the newsroom for a news flash from Michael Burke.
An airliner with 118 passengers on board has crashed on the M1 motorway in Leicestershire. It came down near Kenworth, junction 24 of the motorway, just short of the East Midlands Airport. Eyewitnesses say it was coming into the airport with an engine on fire when it crashed into a motorway embankment. The aircraft's a British Midland DC-9, which was en route from Heathrow to Belfast before reporting engine trouble, and the captain asked to make an emergency landing at East Midlands Airport. There are reports of fatalities and of survivors, but no details about the casualties yet. 30 ambulances have been sent to the scene of the crash. A short while ago, an eyewitness described what happened.
A lot of noise. The building was a bike fire. Flames coming out of the port engine. Very much nose up and wing down on the port side as he was struggling for height. And on the final approach, he got very close. They got out of sight just as they come into the final approach from where I could not have to situate it. And at that point, the noise is very much curtailed. Normally we hear the noise continue for
This is clearly a major incident.
Without doubt, yes.
Right. Let's take an initial reaction from you. Right. Let's take an initial. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
We're an attempt to restart.
Brilliant.
They shut down an error.
Yeah.
So everything, just...
Yeah. So what does that then tell you about the numbers that you've heard?
Sorry?
What does that then tell you about the numbers that you've heard?
I've given you no freedoms whatsoever.
Absolutely, yeah. Right. But what else have you got? This is actually, this is the kind of discussion that we want. Absolutely. And indeed, this was 2 weeks after Lockerbie, where there were no survivors, either on the ground or in the air. And I've put the picture there. The picture wasn't available at the news flash. Undoubtedly, if it was today, you would not only get one go at the news flash, you would get a complete rolling news flash with the ticker on the bottom with the numbers on. So this is quite a difficult exercise. And the other thing you would get is a very quick picture of what had happened. Other thoughts? If you were the manager on call and you're suddenly confronted with that, how would you feel? What might you say? Would you welcome it?
First report is always wrong.
Absolutely. First report is always wrong. Yeah. How would you start to verify the information? Who would you go through? Who have you heard give a statement? Sorry?
At a time or
now? No, just now. Who gave a statement?
Chief
ambulance officer. They're going to have guys on the ground, they're going to be counted. So let's do the numbers. Let's do the numbers. What are the important numbers that you've heard? Let's go back up.
Well, there's
118 passengers is what it said. How many crew are there?
Seven.
125.
Possibly,
but it was kind of ruled out, wasn't it? I mean, this is the kind of discussion that I want people to get into. Yeah.
May 15 on a Sunday night, the M1 is going to be busy, not necessarily packed.
Yeah.
Busy.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're one of three hospitals. There's 125 people. What's three into 125? 40 odd. Let's have a look at this picture of the plane again.
Russell. If the M1 is closed, the ambulance is, I assume, are coming from both ends of it. The obvious thing, therefore, is to say, how many ambulances are each end? Where can they go to with the casualties?
Yes, indeed.
To trigger, either you've got someone on the ground who's going to be able to triage.
Yeah.
You need to get someone, not just the ambulance, but you need to get someone who can do that there as quickly as possible.
Okay, so that's going to be happening. You know the ambulance people are doing that. So. What you don't know is that at the same time on ITV, Trevor MacDonald said there are at least 10 dead. There are at least 10 dead. And looking at that, it's quite clear. This was quite a serious incident. So, let's play the numbers again. Let's give you a bit more information. You've got 125 divided by 3 is about 40 odd, but you're going to have fatalities as well. So 40 odd is the maximum probably, but depending on what you're getting from the motorway itself. Well, senior managers and doctors are being called into the DRI. This is 15 minutes on. A major incident has been declared by A&E. First person you're going to want to talk to is your bed managers, because they're going to tell you what's happening in your hospital. And actually, remember all of those discussions about the 7-day NHS? Well, there are 40 patients who could be sent home. Intensive care is full but not reviewed recently. There are 10 patients who are going to have cold orthopaedic hospitals tomorrow. Yeah? So, do you think you've got a problem or can you manage and why? Two.
How do you think
absolutely correct. And it's not only that, it's how do you process? Absolutely. Taxes is one word. How do you process them so that you know you've made the final decision correctly? Because one of the things you can't do is to send people home who might die because they're in your care. So you not only have a duty to those people on the plane, you have a duty to those people who are already in the hospital. So,
is the 80-bed satellite station 24-hour, or could that be used as a complete unit to handle it?
It's open and it's partially empty. What's the problem, though?
It's remote from my mom.
Well, it's down near the crash site, so all the roads are going to be blocked. So there you go. Actually, in about 12 minutes, you've done an exercise. Okay? That exercise, this must be about the 30th time I've done this exercise. And in this particular format, I've actually done it with intensive care people to try and work out how many people they have to discharge from the intensive care unit. So this is an actual exercise. And the kind of discussion that we've had is very much the kind of decision making that you want to get people into. Okay. Some complications. You could put complications on these things. Well, it turns out that the head orthopaedic surgeon, who is within 2 years of retirement, is relaxing his way through a bottle of Martell whiskey at home. Actually, the answer was he got the coffee on, he then went to sleep. His guy, who was the second in command, who was very junior and talented, took charge of all of this, and it basically made his career. And the head orthopaedic surgeon woke up with a bit of a headache, but came in the following morning and carried on doing the operations. We were a bit short on orthopaedic fixators because hospitals only carry a certain amount of kit. Well, the answer to that was you got people who were the reps from the companies to take additional fixators in from their cars. Major problem was, did you put all the patients who recovered from the crash together or apart? And if you ask a group of nursing staff that, then you could be there for about 3 hours discussing the pros and cons, because there's no correct answer to it. And yes, Edwina Curry was the local MP. Prince Charles wanted to visit Thursday. Mrs. Thatcher wanted to visit Friday. And I was the person who organised all of that because I wasn't the person on call on the evening. Okay, so that gives you an idea of what staff are doing. So, you could do lots of other things with that material. You could do a full day health economy exercise where you're talking about how many operations have to be cancelled and the diversion of patients around the system. You could do a full day exercise with hospital teams. So, why is this a war game? You're probably asking yourself. You are, once you're in the business of receiving injured people into an emergency department, you are then, as an emergency department, asking for various things. You're asking for x-rays, you're asking for operating theatre space, you're asking for intensive care space, you're asking for bed space. Consider all of those things as peer reviews, whereby a particular department's plans are red-teamed in terms of the reality of whether those resources that are required can be given. And you can use the same material in other ways for other parts of public services. If you do an airport exercise, you could concentrate on the detailed treatment of relatives. You could do a traffic management exercise. And you could do a hazardous materials exercise with the problem that you've got. And elsewhere, not least, a media exercise, which deals with how you deal with the media aftermath. Getting senior people to do it isn't easy. Here's some pictures of the very nice people I've worked with. They're all smiling. Don't be fooled by that. They're very senior executives. And your remote possibility of there being an air crash or a pandemic or some other disaster is probably much less important than their day-to-day worries. Because they're senior, and this builds on something that Stephen said earlier, they have quite short attention spans. They're paid much more than you, and they will be more experienced than you. So when you're going in as the emergency planner, Now, suggesting that we do again, you need to know why. But the truth is that they have to do it. They're under moral and legal obligations to do it. In the UK, there's a professional standards framework that people have to exercise. All of these things, accidents, natural disasters, terrorism, are part of a UK risk framework, which then becomes part of your organisational risk framework. And actually, testing via a game like this is really the only way that you have got of validating emergency plans before they're put into account. And as you've seen from the information that you've seen on the short exercise, nothing's certain about this. You've got to be very agile mentally, so you've got to be in that command. You have to have a cadre of people who can take on that command mindset and question what they're hearing while they're under extreme stress. So, yeah, that's the stick. The carrot is, if you can make it snappy, if you can sound reasonable that you know what you're doing, if you can do it with some fun, if you can respect professional expertise, if you can tailor it to organisational needs, then yes, you will get cooperation. Unfortunately, over the 10 years that I've been doing it, I've got lots of cooperation from people. Formal teaching skills help, because that kind of facilitation, that kind of respecting authority, knowledge, are all things that you can bring out through teaching speech. Teaching skills. Rather than talk any further, let's just show you a couple of minutes of another exercise which I was involved in, and I'll probably only have about 90 seconds to show you this because I've got a yellow card on the left. But this is something that we did earlier this year.
Pop alert,
Pop
alert. Is a civil emergency pilot project that's been running for 2 years across the European Union. It's a complex task, but the concept is simple: to develop a unified system of warning the population of danger and how to deal with disaster wherever they are. A system that is instantly recognised by all EU citizens in all EU countries.
Popular is a key project at the European level in that it aims to bridge the gap between the communication between authorities and citizens by providing a platform that on one hand gives the chance to citizens to know how to be prepared to deal with crisis and disasters, and on the other hand for authorities to provide valuable information and instruction to know how to react in case of crisis.
Today is a simulated test of progress so far.
Hello, our top story of this hour is reports of a major earthquake in the Portuguese capital city of Lisbon.
The scenario? An earthquake has hit Lisbon's tightly packed city centre, a city built on steep hillsides, above dark, narrow streets and alleyways crowded with people.
I'm going to cut it short there. That kind of neatly leads into one of the sessions that we're going to do later, because this was a test of, as you can see, a protocol to warn people using a tool called Pandora, which is one of the game's first sign-ups. But I'm going to stop right there. I think I've given you enough of a flavour, which is what I really wanted to do.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Good.